And good morning. Welcome to another episode of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, better known as Quest Community Vibration. Our student host, Walter Pierce, takes a look into the present history by exploring into the life of Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver for his Diamond of the Week. For his definition segment, he will define the word wealth. And for his segment of curtains, he has chosen a big believer in charity, Mr. Hubert Jeffrey Hancock. And without any further ado, I'd like to say to you, good morning once again. And music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have their own meaning that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking you to pull back the curtain, and that is our musical curtain, to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment, where we attempt to make waves and indeed vibrations. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And now, I'd like to introduce you to our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And now, without any further ado, I would like to get into my first segment of the day, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now again, my diamond for today is Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver. You see, Lieutenant Governor Oliver was inspired as a young girl to be a fighter for the voiceless when her eyes were open to societal injustices and inequalities around her, often citing A Tale of Two Cities as her youth awakening. She has since pioneered a successful career in public service, advocating for social justice, women equality, and education, ultimately becoming the first woman of color to serve in a statewide elected office in New Jersey history. In addition to her role as Lieutenant Governor, she serves as Commissioner of the Department of Community Affairs, where she has led efforts to strengthen and expand initiatives for fair and affordable housing, community renovation, homelessness prevention, and local government services that support all of New Jersey's 565 municipalities. Under her leadership, the department has also expanded and leveraged a wide range of initiatives aimed at assisting distressed municipalities, including the federal zone tax incentive, the Main Street New Jersey program, the neighborhood the Neighborhood Preservation Program and the Neighborhood Renovation Tax Program, which has received increased funding. But also as a role as an acting governor, she has signed multiple bills into law, including those that established a caregiver task force to identify ways to support taking care of loved ones who were elderly or disabled, required all public schools in grades 6 and 8 to receive financial literacy education, strengthened the pay for equal work by preventing employers from asking employees previous salary history, and protecting employees from wage theft. Across her career, Lieutenant Governor Oliver has worked in the public, nonprofit, and private sectors, and has taught numerous college courses. She has served as a member of both the East Orange Board of Education and the Essex County Board of Chosen Freeholders. You know, she was actually elected in 2003 to serve as the 34th legislative district in the New Jersey General Assembly. And a trailblazer in every sense of the word. In 2010, she became the first African-American woman in state history to serve as an assembly speaker, and just the second in the nation's history to lead a state legislative house. You know, and she's a proud member again of 40 plus years of East Orange, and also a former student in the North public school system as well, where she received cum laude from Lincoln University and received her master's of science degree in community organization planning and administration from Columbia University. And besides that, that concludes my segment on Lieutenant Sheila Oliver, Lieutenant Governor, as that, you know, really I picked her today because she is somebody, especially in the community of East Orange and Newark, where, you know, we originate from. It's important to give notice to people that come from our area so that the community can know more about them, can research them, and can pay attention to that, because it's important to acknowledge the success in our community so that we can continue to grow again as a community and grow the success. And besides that, this is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Very good job, Walter. And now I would like to provide a little sunlight by Mr. Herbie Hancock.
Start again.
And good morning to our black librarian, our very own Tamir Davis. Good morning. I'd like to bring you in and ask you, first of all, good morning again to you. And what do you think about, or what do you know about, our Lieutenant Governor, Sheila Oliver? Okay, so without any hesitation, we're going to go straight to Tanisha Gardner. Good morning, Tanisha.
Good morning, everybody.
And what do you think or know about Sheila Oliver?
Hello, good morning.
Yes. What do you think or know about Sheila Oliver?
Well, I met Sheila Oliver years ago while I was a doorman at Crescent Park. They changed the name of the building. And while I was at Crescent Park, I was actually studying. I was contemplating studying to become a librarian. And she was very encouraging. And I remember a couple of times she was giving me a very positive pressure words in terms of you can do it, you can get through it. So I got into school. And so I really appreciate her, Lieutenant Governor, for actually encouraging me during that time to say, well, continue. You should be able to get into grad school. You'll be okay. And it worked out.
Okay. So it appears that I made a mistake here with the microphones. And so did I miss – first of all, let me say good morning to you, Mr. Davis. How are you?
Great, great, great. I'm great. I'm great.
And so the achievement of becoming the first lieutenant governor, what do you think about that type of achievement? And what do you think about Walter actually bringing someone of relevance who is alive, bringing her to life in our segment of Diamond?
I appreciate Walter, and Walter never surprised me with his great accolades for great people. I think it's something that just do. I think that we really can't praise Lieutenant Governor enough for all that she has done for the Exus County community in the state of New Jersey as a whole. I can say that it's deserving. She earned every accolade. And I think it's just still, and we can't praise her enough for all that she's done for the state of New Jersey.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go back to Tanisha. My apologies. But Tanisha, what do you think or what do you know about Sheila Oliver? And good morning to you as well.
Good morning, everybody. I guess he summed up everything, but I guess what really sticks out is about when they sued Newark Housing Authority and HUD. And I think that's very intricate, especially with the redevelopments that's happening throughout the city of Newark and how intricate that plays a part, especially when you look at the median income for the city of Newark, which is under $36,000. So the majority of the residents that live here are low income, you know. And it's so funny because when you look at Newark Housing Authority and if you get to read about the case and how that they had, you know, over so many sites and that they were not going to, redevelop them. I think that's something to look into, especially in the time that we're living in now. And it's a simple fact that she brought it up and it's still prevalent to this day. It's a lot of work that we have to do as a community to make sure that we definitely hold, you know, the public officials accountable and also be able to work together to make sure that we could preserve, you know, low-income housing.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're giving her accolades for actually looking out and paying more attention to affordable housing in the Newark area?
Yes, definitely. But it's a lot of work that has to be done because – a lot of people don't know Newark Housing Authority is also a developer, and they also owned, you know, the hockey stadium. So just the simple fact that they put money into development versus into low-income housing, that says a lot about Newark authority and how they're going to take care of the residents. And that's something that's a major concern, and that's affecting us right now to this day, especially with Terrell Holmes, where they want to tear down, which is in the Ironbound. And they're supposed to do, like you said, one-for-one replacement, but a lot of those residents has left. And the majority of them are African-Americans that live in the Ironbound, which is a small sector, you know, compared to the Portuguese population and also the Brazilian population. It's something to really look into. And maybe we should definitely go revisit what she did and see what can we do to implement some of those changes.
Okay. You've definitely unpacked a lot there. So we're going to table that for the moment. But I thank you very much for your input and your comments, because you raised another issue that we're not covering today, but we will cover in the future. So we're going to table that, but I want to thank you very much for bringing that to light, the sunlight. And right now I want to bring in Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Morning. Good morning. Doing fine.
Okay, so the question is, what do you know or what do you think about Sheila Oliver and the fact that our student host brought her up today?
Yeah, well, when Sheila Oliver, like everyone else was, like, describing, she was a real people person, even though she had positions of power, where a lot of times people in those positions kind of forget where they come from. And she definitely has not done that. You know, she's just as approachable to the governor and other senators in the state as she is to the common person on the street. She's just that open to each one of the people. And speaking of East Orange, they built a new school in East Orange that's named after her, Sheila Oliver Elementary School on Grove Street in Springdale. You know, so she's been known for a while within the community, and she's been doing and continues to do very good work. And that's somebody that we need to know about so she can get her accolades while she's here.
Okay. So, Walter, you know, basically you brought up someone who is of relevance and of importance to the panel, and I hear nothing but accolades. So I want to say once again, good job. And what do you think about some of the work that she's done, if you, you know of any work that she's done, you know? So I just want to turn it back to you, Walter. Take it away.
Yeah, she's done a lot of good, especially for, you know, the city of East Orange. Another thing I didn't mention is she got a school built just like literally a block away from me, an elementary school in her name in East Orange. So that shows how, you know, prevalent she really is in the community. And I was able to meet her, I believe, a couple of years back at an event. You know, she's just a very nice person, and trying to do a lot of good for the community is her goal.
Okay. So rather than go to the next song, I want to hand it back over to you, Mr. Walter Pierce, student host, for your next segment.
Okay. Well, my next segment of today is definition. And see, this segment provides with words and their meaning so that we can choose together the common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is wealth. And see, wealth is an abundance of value, possessions, or money. Or it also can mean, you know, the state of being rich, maternal property, prosperity, sorry, or plentiful supplies of a particular resource. And we did something similar to wealth before. You know, we talked about economy, we talked about riches, you know, we talked about the importance of wealth, especially in our communities, African-American communities, because, again, in history, when we go back, we were always at a disadvantage when it came to economics and wealth. Because, again, after slavery, we were so held far back that our communities were struggling, we weren't thriving, and even when we started thriving in certain parts of history, there was always some rebellion or something to cover it up. Or just, you know, again, when we go back to Tulsa and things like that, just complete hatred and jealousy and greed and things like that completely destroyed those empires. So when you get all those types of events and things like that, you know, we're always going to be at a disadvantage when it comes to wealth. And, you know, it's getting better, but it's still not at the point that we needed to, where we could have equality in this country or equal opportunity as of yet. And, you know, I really just want to pass it on to everybody else with this question, really, just about wealth. And, you know, people think about wealth when it's just talking about money, finances, things like that. But I believe you could have wealth in knowledge. You could have wealth in any type of thing. It could be any possession, like the definition says. Any type of possession you have can be considered wealth to you. So I want to ask everybody on this panel, what do you consider wealth? What do you have that, you know, that you deem wealthy and makes you wealthy, if that makes sense?
Well, we're going to start with Tanisha, and yes, it does make sense. Tanisha Gardner, good morning once again. What do you think about Mr. Walter Pierce's question? What do you value or see as wealth? Okay, so that's me again, Tanisha. Let's start off over again. What do you think is wealth?
I guess we're going to talk about economically wise. Like you were saying before, wealth is very important. And the three ways that we could build wealth is through real estate, entrepreneurship, and definitely investing in stocks. But it's so funny that we are not taught that at a very young age to be able to build generational wealth. And I think that's the important part that we need, you know, to put through our community. And then you could also have wealth within self, like Walter was just saying. You know, knowing who you are, knowing your gifts, and how to expound on your gifts, and know how to basically get what you want. And God put the people in your life to make you get to your destination. And I think that's very important, definitely persistence and consistency and believing in yourself and knowing that you can do great things. And that's definitely wealth.
Okay. We want to bring Tamir Davison. Good morning again, Mr. Davis. What do you think about Walter's question, and what's your definition of wealth?
Well, I think wealth is the ability to have access to information, to have access to resources. It's not necessarily a money phenomenon, in my opinion. It's being able to give access. So example to me is the library. The library is open to any and everybody, and they have access to information. They have the ability to make changes. They have the ability to educate themselves. Libraries were the original universities, if you will. So having access to information gives people more options to make necessary changes in their lives and other people's lives. So I think that's a tremendous amount of wealth.
Okay. You kept it short and sweet there. Mr. Harris, what would be your definition of wealth?
I really look at wealth in similar ways, where it's, like Tanisha was saying, it's not necessarily a monetary thing, but in order to unify ourselves and get ourselves together, we need to have a kind of a cultural wealth where we understand our personal wealth and how we can use our strengths and experiences that are part of our community and use those strengths to build wealth in other areas. And so I think cultural wealth is, like, it's more important. And it should be the first step to accumulating any other kind of wealth, because knowledge by itself means nothing if you can't put it to work.
Okay. Short and sweet once again. Well, you know, many times, Walter, when you look at the word, when many people look at the word wealth, they think of luxury items. They think of prosperity, and they think of opulence. Opulence being something that is of value, a valuable materialistic object. When many people will say that wealth is being healthy, many people would say, as Mr. Tamir Davis, our black librarian, said, well, what is wealth without information and education? A fool and their money is soon parted. So to have economic base, to be unified together, like Mr. Harris was mentioning, is something collectively that we need to strive for so that we can have or basically fight back the disparities that you mentioned, Walter, right? The disparities of discrimination in our society, and we can better ourselves as a movement and a people. And on that note, I want to hand it back to you, Walter, and just to see what you think about the panelists, including myself, and our comments to your question.
Yeah, the comments is what I expected. You know, I expected y'all to have different types of things you consider of value, which is important to you. And, you know, another thing I say is for me would be just a wealth of knowledge and knowing. Because, again, the saying goes, knowledge is power. So, you know, having, centering that wealth, knowledge is something that should be valued, in my opinion. But besides that, I agree with everybody, and I'm glad everybody shared that.
Okay. So now we're going to slide over musically to the sound of the Isley Brothers and something that we all need to remember, and that is we have work to do. Okay, you're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And right now we're streaming live on Blog Talk Radio online. And it's time for a fable. And I like to say, as I always say, I want each adult to find the child inside of you. And when you search inside yourself to find your voice, remember there are lessons that you can still learn as an adult. Anybody who's young, just remember there's a voice inside of you. This particular Aesop fable is titled The Ass and His Master. Now, we want to use the proper terminology, right? And that is donkey. Well, as it goes, the donkey belonging to a herb seller gave his too little food and too much work made a petition. Now, it seems to Jupiter to be released from his present service and provided with another master. Now, Jupiter, after warning him that he would repent his request, caused him to be said to a title maker. Shortly afterwards, finding that he had a heavier loads to carry and harder work to do in the brick field, he petitioned for another change of masters. Now, Jupiter telling him that it would be the last time that he could grant his request, that he be sold to a tanner. Now, the donkey found that he had fallen into the worst hand, and noting his master's occupation, said groaningly, "It would have been better for me to have been either starved by one or to have been overworked by another of my former masters than to have been brought by my present owner, who will even after I am dead tan my hide and make me useful to him." Now, the moral of this particular Aesop fable is, he that finds discontentment in one place is not likely to find happiness in another. Now, as it pertains to mental illness and mental health, people walking around looking for a better situation, I'm going to go straight to Mr. Harris. Does this particular fable speak to, in any form or fashion, mental awareness, mental health?
Yeah, well, to me it does. It looks in a way where folks look always looking outside of themselves for the happiness when it's the true happiness comes from within. And you can look everywhere you want, but until you look inside yourself, you'll never really find what you're looking for. That's the old grass is always greener somewhere else scenario.
Okay. Thank you so much for your input. Tanisha Gardner, what did you think about today's fable?
Oh, at first I kind of like missed it, so I was just trying to get an understanding of the I guess the ending, I guess you were saying that he was in, I guess he wasn't happy with the circumstances that he was in, so he chose to go to somewhere else? That's what the fable was about?
Right.
So okay. So what I would say to that, you have to know what you want. And if you're not happy, you have a right to make yourself happy, but you have to know the steps to do it. And don't settle. That's what I take from it.
All right. So to each given their own interpretation, Mr. Tamir Davis, did you hear the fable? And do you have a takeaway for it?
Yes, I do. I did hear the fable. And I do have a takeaway for the fable, that the Aesop fable. I think that, and I concur, that happiness is not so much a physical phenomenon, but a mental phenomenon. It's a mental phenomenon. And wherever your mind goes, you go. So despite any adversity that you go through or any difficult circumstances, they're temporary. It's not going to last forever, you know. You have to be able to manage your mind and manage your own and govern yourself properly. With self-governance,
you can pretty much get to any adverse situation. And I would agree that the grass is not green on the other side. You can't go from one job to another job to another job and figure that you're not going to have any problems. You can't go to one marriage to another marriage to another marriage to a fourth marriage and figure that everything's going to be the same. You're always going to have a situation, and you're always going to have difficulties no matter what. You just have to manage them properly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. To each and every different individual is a different interpretation. And my interpretation of this particular fable is pretty much on line with what the author intended it to be. And that is, many times we think our situation will be better being the grass greener on the other side. But until we look on the inside, like Mr. Harris said, to better ourselves, to better the present situation, that is when we find the answer. Because this particular donkey was not happy with the end result. He ended up with someone who would not only work him to death, but beat him to death too, right? That being said, I have to ask, Walter, what is your interpretation of this particular fable, if any?
Yeah, just what you said again. Just continuously trying to look for happiness when, you know, you're happy. I feel like your happiness could be just within. You just have to just take some time to yourself and just realize it. And once you realize it, it's just going to improve you as a person.
Okay. And when you think you can't find an answer, there's always someone that you can reach out to by calling the National Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-HELP. Help. That's 4357. Now, before we continue with our next segment, we're going to give a space when the world is all at peace. And now it's time for our next segment of Curtain, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But this particular segment looks at what benefits the community has gained from the artist. Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of their listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time in streaming and what could be CD releases. Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist, and this morning, his genius and involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Without any further ado, I turn it back to you, Mr. Walter Pierce.
Thank you for that. And, you know, again, my current segment for today, Herbie Hancock. And for this current segment, I just want to list the charities and foundations that, you know, Herbie Hancock supports, and you could probably look more into it. And if you want to support it, you know, that would be very helpful. So it's the Compound Foundation, the Daniel Pearl Foundation, the Elton John AIDS Foundation, Feeding America, Jazz Foundation of America, Little Kids Rock, Robin Hood, and Stand Up to Cancer. He also supports, you know, adoption, fostering orphans, you know, the AIDS, HIV, at-risk disadvantaged youth, cancer, children, creative arts, economic business support, education, health, homelessness, hunger, and poverty. So as you've seen here, you know, Herbie Hancock is the man of the people. You know, he loves to support with all the success he has earned from music. He brings that to the world by giving back to all these different types of causes, which we need for our influencers, celebrities, to really do with all the notoriety that they have and wealth that they accumulate. They should really, you know, support foundations and charities so that we could just continue to improve the world, because the world's never going to be perfect, but we can continue to improve and just get better as a group. And, you know, what really stands out to me is the Jazz Foundation of America. You know, I was, again, like I said previously before on other shows, I played the trumpet for many years. They were really trying to increase the number of kids playing instruments and those type of things. And you know, when I see somebody like Herbie Hancock giving back to that type of charity, I mean, that type of foundation, it is important, because even though I don't play the trumpet no more, it's still something that is a great field to go into. And, you know, they're always looking for musicians, people who play instruments. And it's just something that, you know, I back and I'm a supporter of, you know, kids playing instruments, learning jazz, because it is something that is very beautiful. But, you know, besides that, that's really all I have for Herbie Hancock. Again, make sure y'all check out those foundations he supports, and, you know, try to do a little research on it, and, you know, maybe you want to support those. So that's all I have for this segment. Okay, so we're about to wrap up our show with 6 minutes left. I want to bring in Mr. Harris. First of all, Mr. Harris,
you know, when we talk about Herbie Hancock, I'm reminded of a time that I read in the Amsterdam News an article that brought my attention to Herbie Hancock and his participation in the STEM program, and him actually relating math to music. And I found that to be phenomenal, because it's something that you don't normally hear. And anytime you can relate a particular hobby, or anytime you can relate music or sports or anything that you can think of to academics, I get excited. But maybe you can speak to that in that particular endeavor of Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, when Herbie Hancock was younger, you know, he was, along with being an excellent musician, he was also kind of an electronics nerd, you know, so he was into STEM stuff before the word even came about. You know, he helped build synthesizers and stuff that he played in his own music. You know, he helped to, like, expound on different things that was already out here to push everything to the limit so that he can move on to the next level of his musical adventure. And all of this stuff, because music, if you look at it, it's just fractions, whole notes, quarter notes. And, you know, and the more you understand music, or the more you understand mathematics and fractions and things like that, and different combinations and permutations, you know, that's all music is, basically. It's just giving you the same thing in another way. And he was very good at doing that, and saw the need for bringing those things together. Because, you know, I happen to work at a school that's a school of the arts. And as a math teacher, I was able to show some of my kids how you can use, you know, because they didn't think mathematics was important if they were going to be a dancer, an artist, a musician. And then just relating those things to what their interests are maybe gave them a better understanding and a better reason for understanding the math that we were doing and how we could use that stuff to help them, you know, further in their projected careers. And it was very important. And Herbie's been doing this for a while, and kudos to him.
Yeah, well, kudos to you, Mr. Harris, for bringing your different perspective of touching and reaching out to young people and giving them a different way of looking at things as it pertains to academics. Big up to you, brother, on that. I want to go to Tanisha, but before I do, let me just say this to everybody on the panel. Today, we were able to talk about politics, governance. We were able to talk about prosperity, luxury. We were talk about a keyboard player who is also a charity giver and believes in giving back, a songwriter and band leader. But with all of that being said, how do you sum up today's show, Tanisha Gardner?
So today was an excellent show. I learned a lot of information. I don't know too much about Herbie Hancock, but it makes me want to do more research. And that's why I like listening to the show every day, because it makes me learn more.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your participation and your input and your viewpoint, because your different perspective is what adds to the different flavors of this cake that we're baking here. And that being said, I want to bring in the Black Librarian, right? And what is your perspective of today's program on any particular subject? But talk to me, brother. Good morning again. Tamir Davis. So we're going to go straight to...
Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
I guess the muted was a... But actually, it was a,
okay,
a great program.
So you're here now.
Yeah,
go. What is your perspective of today's show?
Beautiful program, great program. Learned a lot about Herbie Hancock. Learned a lot from all the panelists, as always. I give the show 100%, as we always do. Thanks.
Well, thank you for your input and your perspective. Walter Pierce, our student host, take it away. What was your perspective of today's show, and close us out?
It was a great show. We got really an important person in our community, Sheila Oliver, to talk about a great wealth segment and just the contributions that Herbie Hancock has given to the world. And besides that, this is student host Walter Pierce for 89.5 WSOU. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Everybody, that's radio.
The best
youth radio.
Youth radio show.
Okay. Yeah. With that being said, everybody, we're going to end the show with the sounds of Herbie Hancock, titled Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.